Sir, in your travails in these decades of comedy, you have opened for one said Mitch Hedberg. True or not true?
That is true.
Talk to me about that experience.
It was fascinating. It was sad.
Sad.
It was extremely sad to me. Do you want the true story on here? Are you seriously looking for the truth?
You can't handle the truth. You come down here in your white uniform, flash a badge, and think you can scare me.
I tossed you that one.
Son, I eat breakfast 400 yards away from 3,000 Cubans that are trained to kill me. You can't scare me.
That was impressive. You remembered quite a few.
But Danny, if you want that transfer order, you're going to have to ask nicely. So do you.
I opened for him at Georgia Theater. He died fairly soon after. I don't remember exactly. 4 or 5 weeks, 6 weeks. I don't remember. It was towards the end. I don't remember dates that well. But it was definitely towards the end. His funny wife, she's very funny. She usually opened for him, but their plane, there was a plane situation, right? Plane got stuck in Chicago. It was a storm. So they called the club, and I happened to be there. So I ran down there. And it was one of those things where, Stuart, go up and just do time until we give you the thumbs up, and that means he's here. Okay. So this is a college crowd, very young crowd, and I had a fine set. It went fine, you know. And then I get off stage, and then he went up and delivered gorgeous comedy. Gorgeous, beautiful. You know, the crowd's kind of laughing. And then he starts fumbling around with his notebook, and he goes, I don't know what's going on. They erupt, you know. And then he does a couple of jokes that are beautifully crafted, really funny jokes, and they kind of laughed. And then he left the stage and went backstage and started describing things that were back there, and the crowd was just dying. I mean, just rolling. And then I figured out that, like, they're loving watching him be messed up, you know. They're really getting a kick on watching this guy not be able to remember his material, not be able to remember where this was or even where he was, you know. So that's the sad part, is I felt, it's the first time in my life that I've actually felt that old saying that masses love to watch someone die. They just love to watch someone kill themselves, you know. And that's what I saw that night from that sold out group of young kids, was whenever he would deliver a absolutely gorgeous, beautiful joke, they would give him a 5 laughter on a scale 1 to 10. But when he couldn't stand up anymore and he had to sit down on the stage for a while, they erupted. They love that, you know. So it was a very sad thing to me. But on the positive side, one of the best comedy writers ever. And so to get to hang out with him for a while and talk to him and meet his wife, loved that whole thing. Nice guy. I mean, just like nice guy as in, so how'd your set go? I'm sorry we missed it. Really? You're sorry you missed my set? You know, that kind of, like, he actually cared. What have you been working on lately? Oh, that's cool. You know, do you work that club? Oh, you should, man. I'll call them. You should work that club. They would love you. I'll call them. And then he actually did. You know, it wasn't just bullshit, you know. So meeting him, working with him, fantastic. Watching the crowd laugh at him being that high was really depressing. Is that way too much?
I think it's just enough.
All right.